I mean, I often like think about what I would be like in that audience, and I know full well Oprah would be like, look under your chair, and I would look to the person to the left and be like, what's under there? Like, I just wouldn't do it because I was like, ooh, what is she doing? It's very hard for me to concentrate on anything. It's like, ooh, does Oprah have something under her chair?
I love that. I love the idea that she gave everybody a car or whatever the fuck was under the chair, but then she also put one under her chair for herself.
Yeah, because... She's like, I have a car too.
Like, bitch, you got $1 billion. We get it. You got a car. Yeah, yep, there it is. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another sensational episode of My Mama Told Me, the podcast where we dive deep, deep into the pockets of black conspiracy theories, and we finally work to prove that Dwayne The Rock Johnson is too damn buff to wipe himself thoroughly. You think the man's a Republican because of financial reasons? No, he needs a slave to wipe his butt now because his muscles get in the way of a thorough wiping. That's the theory I'm spreading. That's some shit I actually believe. Yeah, I don't think he can reach back there anymore. I'm passionate about this subject. Don't bother voting. Look more into Dwayne's muscles and everything that's blocking him from wiping himself. I'm your host, Langston Kerman. I'm coming in hot today, baby. I'm feeling good. You know why? Because my guest today, she's wonderful. She's hilarious. You've seen her on Netflix. You've seen her on Nailed It. She's so much fun. I'm so happy she's here. Give it up for my guest, Miss Nicole Byer.
Wow, 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 wow. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God. Laughing. Oh, that made me so happy. I haven't heard it in a while.
Yeah, you got to let that sink in for a second.
I really like that conspiracy theory that The Rock can't wipe. Mm-hmm. I believe that.
Sure.
I think he might have a muddy butt because he's got too many muscles.
Too many muscles leaves you with a muddy butt. That's something my grandmother used to say to me all the time.
Baby, don't get too strong. You're going to have a mud butt, baby.
I don't know when my grandmother became from the South, but she did. That was.
I just figure every black grandma's from the South.
That's a fair guess. There's sort of a history there that leads us to believe that's a real possibility for most of us. I'm excited you're here. I would say you came to us with a conspiracy theory that is almost ubiquitous. It's everywhere. It's everybody's saying it. Everybody knows it. It's maybe one of the most popular conspiracy theories out in the world. You said, my mama told me.
Black. Don't crack.
Mm-hmm. Black don't crack, that you'll be the same age for forever. And then You see it out in the world, you know?
Yeah.
Like Gabrielle Union, I think she's older than we all think.
Sure.
She looks beautiful.
That lady is 68.
Truly.
And gorgeous. Stunning.
Yes. Like, okay, so here's what I think. I think the conspiracy only really goes for women. Because sometimes black men...
Not loving this. This turned on me very quickly. But go on. You finish your idea.
I feel like maybe black men do age just a little slower. But it's black women who really don't age.
Sure. Okay. I will say that there's a fair amount of evidence that what you're saying is probably has at least it's some legitimacy. Morgan Freeman is doing worse than Cicely Tyson. You know what I mean? Like, there's a noticeable difference in the way that the two are aging.
And I honestly think it might be because women just take care of their skin better in general.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and maybe like women, I don't know. I don't want to say like men are worse than women, but maybe.
That's a pretty controversial statement these times.
Cheating on somebody and, you know, you're just waiting at home at night for someone to come home, your skin stays a little less wrinkled.
You stay a little taut if you're just sitting there in a boiling rage at the way that someone's treating you.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair. Let's start from the beginning
of
Black Don't Crack. Let's really get into the history of Black Don't Crack for you. Where do you feel like you first heard Black Don't Crack? Somebody say it. Was it a family member?
It was a family member. And I'm pretty sure the first time I heard it was one of my cousins at like Thanksgiving said something about her getting older, but she was like, but I still look the same in the face. And then another cousin was like, Black Don't Crack. And I was like, okay, Black Don't Crack. And now that's a thing in my vocabulary that I say now.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this cousin is like basically trying to reassure herself, like, nah, I still got it. And a catchphrase was now thrown into the ether that you otherwise had not heard. When you heard it, were you immediately like, yes, that is fact? Or did you have to like go through your head and be like, I don't know if that's true?
I guess a thing that I do is when new information hits, I go, oh, okay, that's a thing now and it's true. And then I get it all.
wait, I'm sorry. Because I don't want to just skip past that. You're saying when new information is presented to you, you go, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That is a fact. And then you move forward.
Yeah, it's a bad habit. And now with the internet, I have to like stop myself because I love reposting things. So now I like stop myself and I'm like, look it up, Nicole. Just because like you read it doesn't mean it's true. It's a problem. But
you are literally what they're afraid of these Russian hackers.
I'm fully fake news.
All these people who like every time that they publish some article where they're like the Russians are taking over, they're hacking our elections. Part of it was like, oh, I thought they were like hacking into like the booths and stealing our votes.
Same. And that's what I would like say to people until I like understood it and was like, oh, no, they just influenced it with like Facebook ads and shit. And I was like, oh, no. Fuck.
Oh, no, they just been private and messaging me. And it turns out I've been listening. I'm the one who told you.
And I've been telling everybody. I've been reading the messages. It's new information. I said, that's what it is.
Sure. Does that then make you nervous that Black does in fact crack and you've just been spreading it across the country?
Is this what you're going to tell me that Black does crack?
I'm not going to tell you anything of the sort. Listen, I've got a little stock in this game too, but all I'm saying is that it's making me nervous that we're somehow aligning and you've refused to do any research.
Listen, sometimes, okay, it's a 50-50 shot. So you do the research, you were wrong. Or you do the research and you were right. If you skip the research, you could just be right.
You could just be right the whole time.
Yeah.
And that's science.
And that's America.
That's America. That's that good American science that we've
good
all
American
been hearing
science,
about.
Yes.
Are there members of your family that you feel like you could point to and go, this is evidence of this conspiracy theory being true, or people in your inner circle, if you will?
Yeah. My sister specifically, she is older than me. I'm like 35 or 36. She's 37. Or wait. She was born in 85. I'm terrible at math and remembering, but she truly looks like she's a teenager, and she works in a school. And sometimes they'll be like, hey, get to class, because she was a sub for a little bit. And she'd be like, no, I'm the teacher. And they're like, what? She's like 5'2". Her skin is so clear. It's so baby smooth. And then she doesn't really wear a lot of makeup. And then she just looks so fucking young.
Yeah.
And then my other cousin, Jory, she looks so young. And she's, I think, in her like late 40s, maybe. I don't know. But she looks like she's in her 20s, maybe like mid 30s.
Yeah, I similarly, and this isn't necessarily evidence of Black Don't Crack, but it is me sympathizing with your sister that I taught high school when I was like 23, 24.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a lot of that, of like security guards like stopping me in the hallway and being like, where's your pass, boy? You going to the office? And I'm like, sir, I pay taxes. Please don't do this. Please cut this out. And so I sympathize with a young looking person who well into their 30s is still being sort of harassed by these other people who are meant to protect them, or at least keep them unannoyed throughout the day.
Wait, where did you teach?
I taught for a year in Chicago and then for 2 years in Boston.
Which one was worse?
Oh, see, that's a tricky question because because then that comes down to which kids did I like more? And some of them probably listen to this. So they were all the same pieces of shit to me, you know? I don't want any of them to feel special or like they they left a lasting mark on my spirit. Fuck you, kids. That's how I live
That's
my life.
That's a perfect answer. Fuck you, kids.
If you're listening, children, fuck you. I still resent you 10 years later, even after I've quit those jobs. So there's evidence in your family. Mm-hmm. There's evidence out in the world. Black don't crack. Here's something that I've been thinking about that I would love to unpack with you. Do you think that this phrase has the possibility or potential of offending non-black counterparts or yes. our non-black peers? Tell me yes. more. You're saying yes. Tell me more.
Well, not to be rude, but it seems as if our paler friends get offended by everything, even sure. if it has nothing to do with them. Because the phrase black don't crack isn't saying black don't crack and white is crusty and crumbly. You fucking dust. You nasty, dusty bitches. It's not saying that.
God, I wish that was on the back end of that entire phrase. Is black don't crack and white, you nasty, dusty bitches. You're cracking.
Honestly, it would be very funny. And then I'd be like, yeah, sure, I'd get mad at that too. But like, yeah, it's a sentence that has nothing to do with them. And they sometimes get mad about it.
Sure.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me. I mean, we could get political, and it's the same thing with Black Lives Matter. It has nothing to do with white people. It's just right. saying that certain people matter. Just yeah. it doesn't. It's a period at the end of the sentence. So
yeah,
yeah. Just remove yourself from the situation when nobody's talking about you.
Sure, black don't crack in a lot of ways is much like your cousin being like, I still look good. Mm-hmm. I'm still proud of the way that I look physically, and I would love a catchphrase to help me really encompass that feeling, make me feel pride about the way that I look. And instead, somebody's coming in like, bitch, how could you believe in yourself in relation to me? Look at me. Why are you not talking about me when you want to feel good about you?
Yep.
It's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
I venture to guess that part of what also is upsetting is that it does sometimes get weaponized, mm-hmm. right? That like, it isn't always just pride. We're not always just being like, black don't crack. It's my birthday. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's mm-hmm. like, now look at this old motherfucker. You know what I mean? Look at Mitch yes. McConnell. He's all bruised up and leathery.
What is going on with Mitch McConnell's hand? It looks like he's wearing OJ's glove. What the fuck is going on? He's like dying.
I posted this the other day and I do stand by it. I do think that it has that same look of when Dumbledore touched that ring in Harry Potter and then uh-huh. he was dying and Snape had to kill him. But it was, you know, the whole thing. Uh-huh. But yeah, no, it's clearly a hand of death and we don't know why he's dying or under what circumstances he's going to eventually be finished off. But mm-hmm. he's clearly, this is it for old
yes,
Mitch.
He's leaving this plane.
And that said, how can you look at that person and say that white and black are the same in terms of the way that they age? Mitch McConnell's 45 years old.
Wait,
he's
what?
A young man. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God. Langston, I almost fell out of my chair. I was like, that's sick. That's fucked up.
Mitch McConnell is 38 years old.
And if you
this
hadn't
is
said
the way-
just kidding, I would have been telling people he's 45 years old, y'all. This is new information. He's 45.
You can't keep living this way. 78 is what I'm being told. He's and now this is upsetting. My producer Hans is telling me he's 78 and he's saying he actually looks kind of good for 78.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
How old is Cicely Tyson? She looks good.
She's 99.
Yeah, she looks good. Now I'm Googling old black people.
Wait, did you do old black celebrities or
no, just
old
black
people?
And it just showing me pictures of just literally old black people.
Right. Just a dude on a Bluetooth phone. A lady stirring a pot.
Yeah, oh, I love that. More or less. Let's see. How old's Patti LaBelle?
Oh, Patti's got to be at least 70.
Yeah.
I would say 74. That's my guess.
I think so. I can't figure out how to
You're not looking it up. I'm like reacting under the premise that you're going to be looking it up. But no, you're like, yeah, how old is she? No way to tell. There's no way for us to ever find out.
Now I'm looking it up. Okay,
she's 76.
She's 76. 76? Mitch McConnell's only 2 years older than her? Y'all, this man's rotten.
Yeah, that's a rotten man. That's not good leather at all. Whatever's on the inside
is very bad. Speaking of Patti LaBelle, have you ever seen, we're straying from the subject, but have you ever seen her
go crazy.
Sing for Bill Clinton?
No.
So
I've
it's
never
a Christmas. It's a Christmas something. I think maybe like a Christmas tree ceremony. And she doesn't know the words to this song. And she's got cue cards. And they start the music. She's like, "We're the cue cards." She's like, "Honey, honey, we're the backup singers." And she's, it's honestly the funniest thing I've ever seen. It's so funny.
I love that. There's nothing funnier to me in the world than when like musicians don't know the words to their own songs and then they just have to like keep pretending like they're invested in this music that changed our lives.
She straight up was like, "Honey, I don't know the words. The cue cards, I gotta go faster, honey." It's really honestly one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
I also love that because it was probably in an era where there was no teleprompter. Mm-hmm. It literally was somebody needing to move cards out of the way. So she's just yelling at a dude holding cards and trying to frantically throw them out of the way with the words to a song we all know except for her, apparently.
I think it was This Christmas. No, is that a song?
Yeah, it is. It's a song. I don't know if it's the one she was singing, but it's definitely a song.
It is a song.
Sure. So, again, we're looking at the point in which Black Don't Crack sort of is becoming most evident when we look at like a Mitch McConnell, right? He obviously has cracked. A Patti LaBelle is cracking far less and far sort of more gracefully than a Mitch McConnell would be. Mm-hmm. Here's where I get curious. What point do you think that this becomes a real factor and the possibility for offending in the aging process for our paler friends, as you put it?
Wait, what do you mean? Sorry.
I mean, at what age are we starting to, like, does this become personal? When I go black don't crack, are they looking at me and going, "Fuck you, man, I'm cracking"?
Honestly, I think pretty early, like 45. Yeah.
Oh, you're being generous.
Maybe 40? Actually, no. Some people I went to high school with look fucked up. So I'm going to say 30. Like 30, 32.
That sounds more right. You know who I think about is, what was that Netflix reality show where they couldn't see each other, but then they could see each other?
Oh, Love at First Sight? No, Blind Love? Love is Blind? Yeah. I didn't
love
watch
is blind.
It, but
there
I know about it a little bit.
There's that lady who everybody hated, Jessica, who I was certain when they introduced her was a solid 49, I would say. And then they revealed that she was like 33, and I was devastated. I was like, "Whoa, this is horrible. You are gorgeous, 49.
That happens a lot on reality shows, where you're like, "Wow, look at this very old white lady," and they're like 22, and you're like, "Oh, you've had a tough 22 years. Wow, I can't believe you're only 22.
Right. What happened to you in these 22 years to make you look like that? But then, at least based off of the premise that we've set up, what did happen to you in 22 years? Because on average, black people live, I would argue, harder lives than white people tend to.
Yeah, we sure do. But maybe we live harder lives, but we're not like super angry about it all the time. Like black people are pretty joyful.
Sure.
So maybe it's like we look at hardships and we're joyful about it. And then our skin is like producing, I don't know, happy serums. I don't fucking know about skin. I don't know. This is what happens when I speculate.
I love that of all the chemicals that you could have listed off, you had I imagine you washed your face many times, uh-huh. and you've looked at the chemicals on the back and you've been like, oh, that's in there. Oh, this is in there. And the first thing that popped into your head was happy serum. You said, yep, happy serum is being emitted from our pores that allows uh-huh. us to look youthful in relation to our white counterparts.
Yep. Hey, stand by it.
All right, well, who am I to argue? We're going to take a break and we'll be back with more Nicole Byer and more My Mama Told Me. And we are back.
If you want to reach those kids on the street, then you got to do a rap to a hip-hop beat. So I gave my sermon an urban kick. My rhymes are fly, my beats are sick. My crew is big and it keeps getting bigger. That's because Jesus Christ is my nigga.
Yeah, we're back here with more My Mama Told Me, more Nicole Byer. We're still talking about that black skin and why it doesn't crack. And if it ever will crack. Do you feel this will get us into the research? This mm-hmm. I think it's a good leading question into the research. Do you feel like there's anything misleading in the phrase black don't crack?
Yeah, it should probably be black and brown don't crack.
Oh, that it should be more all encompassing.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
Yeah, I think our darker skinned friends all age slower than our alabaster friends.
Sure. I think that's a fair argument. I've heard a few other Asian don't raisin. Have you heard that?
No, but that's fun.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I like that one.
I've heard that one. I think Kim New Money was the person who said that to me once. And I was like, hell yeah, Kim.
I love
good for
Kim.
You.
She's great. Wait, let's see. Puerto Rican, their skin ain't weakened.
I want to do Dominican and Skinnikin, but I can't piece it together. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's not
Dominican,
coming together.
Your skin will stay Skinnikin. No, I'll have to come back to you.
Dominican,
the Puerto Rican one really came to me.
Your skin ain't thinnikin.
Yes,
like them.
Yes, Dominican, because your skin ain't thinnicums. Yeah, that one's a little tougher.
Yep, we should have just stopped at your Puerto Rican one, but I had to keep it going. So I asked that question because in my research, one of the things that sort of came out of a lot of this conversation was this issue of aging, right? Mm-hmm. And we sort of are talking about aging on the physical level. But the reality is that Black people tend to die much younger than their white counterparts, right?
Mm-hmm.
That like we're not actually living in a world where Black people aren't cracking. They're just not cracking on the outside. They're cracking actually a lot faster than literally everyone else. And so I looked up the life expectancy for people based on their race. And Asians are the ones who are living the longest. They are, in fact, not raising and living around 86 years, whereas Latinos go about 81, 82. Whites are in the middle. They're at like 70, 78, 79.
Mm-hmm.
Native Americans are coming around at 77. And then Black people are stopping at 75.
Dang.
Yeah. So we're a full like 12 years behind our Asian counterparts.
Oh, no. 12 years a slave. That's what they were talking about. That's what the whole movie was about.
12 years of age. Yeah, it was heartbreaking, but I did find some comfort in realizing that white people don't live nearly as long as their lives are set up for them to live. You know what I mean?
Yes. But I mean, it is kind of funny that they have a lot of advantages, but they don't live the longest.
No, you're barely living longer than us, and y'all have every advantage in this country. What are you doing wrong that's making you do that? Leave those horcruxes alone and live your life.
Some of our alabaster friends are doing weird shit. Like, what did that president say? I said that president. He was like, drink bleach and shit. Like, that man's wild.
What did Herbert Hoover say? Yeah, it was the one that none of us like, and he's the recent one.
Yeah.
Lil Pump just endorsed him, so he's doing pretty good. Lil Pump, you know Lil Pump?
Really?
Yeah, he said he didn't want to pay an extra 33% in taxes, but he didn't want to just leave it at like, and that's why I'm voting for Donald Trump this year.
Mm-hmm.
He made an Instagram video where he said, fuck Sleepy Joe Biden. Suck my dick, nigga. I'm not paying another 33% in taxes. And it was like, all right, Lil Pump, this seems excessive.
It does seem excessive. And I don't think, what? He'd have to pay an extra 33% in taxes?
I think a lot of people of a certain wealth are now worried that Joe Biden who has been pretty open about wanting to tax the wealthy differently than mm-hmm. Trump has been taxing them, is suddenly going to institute the most extreme taxing in all of history. When in fact, he's probably just going to like charge them a little extra from mm-hmm. what they previously were being charged. You'll be fine.
Uh-huh.
But that's not how rappers deal with their problems. So.
You know, here's the thing, though. I wish people could see Lil Pump and be like, oh, good for Lil Pump and his millions of dollars. Uh-huh. I don't have millions of dollars, so I would like his. So
yeah.
I'll vote for Joe to hike his taxes up.
Sure.
But that's not like, what people's mentalities are.
Right. And that's a good point. The instinct should be, oh, Lil Pump got a lot of money. I'm trying to get some of that money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would love for that money to go towards infrastructure yes. and school systems.
Yeah, wouldn't
but
it be nice to have
like
Lil Pump University?
Right.
A state institution. Because he got taxed just a little bit more.
Sure. But instead, we're like, we got to protect Lil Pump's money.
It's so wild that like people who don't make any money are like, yeah, we got to follow Lil Pump.
Mm-hmm. Man. Okay. So let's unpack a little bit more of this conspiracy theory. Obviously, black people do technically crack, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there is a lot of evidence that we do look good and look better than our white counterparts all the way up until the day that we die. Scientific mm-hmm. evidence, oh. not just stuff you read and then go on and spread to strangers until someone else refutes it and tells you to say something different. So let's start with the beginning. One of the things that they say makes black skin age better is the amount of collagen and melanin in black skin. So
Ooh.
Obviously, melanin is the pigment that we produce for our skin that mm-hmm. protects us against UV rays. And in 1979, this person, Kay Cadby, found that on average, 55% of ultraviolet A rays penetrate Caucasian skin, while fewer than 18% get through black skin.
Oh.
Which is why, like, our photo aging is different, right? That, like, mm-hmm. they're just soaking up all these rays and it's, you know, wearing down their flesh
mm-hmm.
in a way that black skin tends to reflect and not soak
up. So the
up.
Sun is literally melting white people from the outside in.
That's right. It is.
That's wild.
They are sun-dried tomatoes of human beings. And while delicious, that's not exactly a great look for you physically.
No. This is incredible. So, like, I wear sunscreen. So all black people should wear sunscreen. So then none of the rays penetrate you and you stay young forever.
That's right. I think you would like as few rays as possible based off of the research that I've seen to be sort of getting into you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they said mixed people, myself, tend to fall in the middle, which makes sense. So we will age better than our white counterparts, mm-hmm. but not nearly as good as our darker skinned counterparts.
Oh, okay.
So I was, you know, this hasn't been a good week for me as far as stuff I'm gathering, but you know.
Yeah, but you got a little bit of protection. You're half
I got a little
protected.
Bit. Sure.
I'm kidding.
Half protected.
I don't know your racial makeup. I shouldn't have said half protected. Oh,
no, it's
boy,
exactly
oh boy,
right.
Oh boy!
It's exactly right. You nailed it. So then it talks a little bit about why Asians don't age the way that white people do. Mm-hmm. And it said that Asian people actually have a different kind of melanin called pheomelanin, which is why it's similar, but it basically is a different, I guess, like tone of it. And they have a lot of this pheomelanin that basically allows them to age at a slower rate than white people as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's some science here. Now, here's where it gets a little less exciting.
Oh, okay.
Is although this is obviously good, there are some downsides to black skin.
Oh, no.
So black skin is more prone to discoloration, dark spots, pigmentation, and keloid scarring.
Yeah,
Right? Which is why, you know, a lot of times we have these big scars on our bodies in weird places from small cuts. My mom had a scar on her arm for years that was like from a small like razor cut, but it turned into like a giant keloid because that, I guess, happens a lot more with melanated skin.
Yeah. Before I got my nose ring, they were like, do you get keloids? And I was like, what do you mean? They're like, black people get keloids, so like you might have a keloid on your nose if it doesn't heal right. And I was like, what? No. What? And then it was like pierced. And I was like, I hope it heals well.
Right. Why did you wait till I sat down to tell me this?
Yeah, I was like, this could have been told to me in the waiting room while I was filling out all the fucking paperwork.
Right. I might have not signed my name on that line that you asked me to had I known any of that.
Wait, Langston, do you scar poorly? Is that a bad sentence? That's a bad sentence. Do you guess?
I thought it was great.
I think you know. I think
you're doing fine. Yeah.
Langston, do you scar poorly?
Thank you for asking, Nicole. I think so. I think I tend to keloid more than the average person. And I think I imagine some of that has to do with like genetic shit that like if my mom gets a lot of keloids, I'm probably going to get a lot of keloids. And black people just pass that down to each other more frequently than white people do, if that makes sense.
It does. I get like dark spots. I have like I don't like my if I cut myself, it won't heal. Like I'll just have a scar for the like forever. I have so many scars on me.
Oh, shit. And it's like simple cuts, not like something that like.
Simple cuts.
Should have left any marking.
But sometimes they'll fade away. So, like, I had a cut on my, I'm looking for it, on my hand. And it was, like, on my finger. And I had the scar for, like, a super long time. But I think it's, like, finally faded. I have a scar in the middle of my forehead that I don't think is ever going to fucking fade. And then I have.
What happened in the middle of your forehead?
I fell down.
Face first?
It's a rather long story. I got knocked down by a homeless man
in shit.
Central Park, and I was drunk. It's honestly the dumbest story. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's the Cliff Notes version. Yeah. I was blacked out drunk. We were playing photo scavenger hunt, so we had like a whole list of stuff that we had to take photos with. And I got off the train because I had to pee. And I said, I'll be right back. Trains don't let you do that. So then I was like.
You yelled it at the conductor as he's poking his head out.
I'll be right back. And he's like, man, we're leaving you. You're trying to pee on the platform. So then I went above ground. Also, I didn't have a purse because I gave it to my friend. And I went to Central Park to look for them. And then an unhoused friend was like, do you want to smoke weed? And I was in my early 20s. And I said, yes, please. I never turn down weed. And then he was like rolling this blunt and there was like sticks in it. And I was like, that's not weed. And I started screaming. And then he like hit me on my jaw. And then like not super hard, but like to be like, shut up.
Right. And then like you blowing up my spot. Yeah. This shit ain't legal yet.
Yeah, this is like 10 years ago. We could be arrested. And I was hammered, so I lost my balance and fell without putting a single arm out to stop my fall.
Wow.
Yes.
You full on did that thing. What are those, like, those topsy things that, like, you punch them and they, like, fall straight and then bounce back?
But I have no idea what they're called, but that's exactly what I did. And I didn't bounce back. I just, it was a thud, and I laid there, and he was like, oh, no.
Oh, well. I'm glad I killed a black lady because nobody will come looking. Wow, that's horrifying.
But you know, she's still living. She hasn't fully cracked.
She hasn't fully cracked, but she bears the scar of the girl who lived.
Yeah, it's a you can't really see it.
No, I can't see it at all.
Let's see you can. Do you see that?
I can see a little something. This is great for our listeners hearing me vaguely see a scar over a Zoom call.
You know, podcasting,
this will keep
hard.
Them engaged.
You have to remember it's a audio medium.
Okay, here's where the research really took me into something that I got excited about. Recently, in 2019, a Rutgers, New Jersey medical study suggested that Black people are born with denser bones in their face. And these bones also don't break down as quickly, especially the bone between the eyes and the cheekbones, which is part of the reason that we age so much better than our white counterparts.
So I'm big boned. It's true. I'm big boned. I'm big boned.
Wipe your eyes. Stop crying. What are you crying for?
I'm big boned. I'm so excited. I thought I was just fat, but all my bones are just big, even in my face.
All these beautiful, dense bones. Oh, I've never been so happy that my bones were heavy.
I'm genuinely it's fascinating. Happy. I fucking love that we have bigger, denser bones.
Yeah, it got me excited at first, and then I started to get nervous. And this is where I'll take you down where my brain goes always. But I got nervous because when you start saying that we have a different biological makeup than white people, it starts to get into that space where, like, we're measuring skulls like eugenics. Do you know what I mean? That, like, there was an entire science at one point in this country that basically went like, their heads are like monkey heads, so they should be slaves and the rest of us should be out living in the world. And so while I'm excited that we don't age the same way, I am nervous that, like, who came up with this shit? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's your plan?
Okay. I hope the person who, like, was studying this had a friend, was like, yes, I'll donate my skull to science. And then they're like, oh, cool, this is really great. And then that's how they figured it out. And not that they, like, dug up an old Black lady to look at her bones. I don't understand how experiments like that happen.
Like, well, I'm glad you're bringing that up, because I looked up where it came from. And it comes from this dude named Boris Pascover.
Uh-oh, right? Boris.
Yeah, Boris ain't a good start. No. But Boris was doing a study back at Yale in, like, 2014 on the bony structure of the aging face, right? Mm-hmm. Just general faces. But he was doing it at Yale. And so all of the people that were coming to his study or sort of being offered as patients for his study were white people. Like, literally every single one of his patients was white. Mm-hmm. And then he gets transferred. He gets a new job over in New Jersey. He's working in Newark. And suddenly he's doing the exact same study, but half of his patients are now Black, because Newark's a more Black, more diverse city. And so what he realized is the products that he was receiving, the things that he's getting out of this study, are showing completely different results when he's looking at the Black people instead of the white people.
It's fucked up that a lot of experiments and a lot of research is done with white as the base, and then they don't look at anything else, and then are surprised when they find different results with different people. It's like, yeah. And it's the same thing with, like, mental illness. A lot of mental illness is studied only in men and not in women. So, like, they just figured out what ADD or ADHD looks like in little girls and women. And I was like, that could have helped me when I was a child.
Right.
You know, I wasn't just chatty because I was a girl. Fucking chatty because I couldn't concentrate.
That's exact. And listen,
well, that's how they get
you. That's how they get you. I think you're exactly right that this is a weird, both an encouraging thing, right? That he discovered, oh, shit, this entire group of people is different than this group of people. I want to study that. I'm encouraged by that, blah, blah, blah. But there's something really sad about the idea
that he had to go to Newark.
He had to go to fucking Newark, and he would have never even thought to look at Black people unless he was put in circumstances where he was forced to look at Black people, right? Yeah. In the same way that, to your point, you don't discover as a young lady that you have ADHD or some sort of attention issue because they're not treating you as the subject. They're just treating you as like a girl doing girl stuff. Mm-hmm. We don't know. That ain't science. She's just a girl.
Yeah. Yeah. Fully wild. And then I was like, I think my mom has ADD. You know, it's a whole thing. It's a whole fun little mystery to figure out.
I love that. You were just going around the house accusing everybody
of ADD. You have ADD. And you have the ADD, Oprah. Look under your chairs. You have attention deficit disorder.
No, no. Concentrate. Look under the chair. Stop looking over here. But I think one of the larger things that this sort of left me with, one of the larger feelings, fears, and celebrations that it left me with, is while it's beautiful that Black people, in fact, do not crack, that our mm-hmm. bones are denser, we got them big bones, as you put it, it also made me really sad about how many resources are Black people being left without because science didn't want to do the work.
All of them. I'm sure there's a very nice way to stop hypertension and diabetes in Black people. It's just right. not studied in Black people, so we suffer.
Yes,
I'm sure exactly. there's like a very simple fix to it, but you know, you have to run tests and you have to, it takes a while to figure shit out, but you know.
Right. You have to be down to do the work for the community that actually is suffering, not just do the work for the community you're trying to protect.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Angst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Damn. Ooh, that was deep. Boo, woo.
That's it. You heard it. I'm deep. There's no other reason for us to keep talking in this. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more Nicole Byer and more My Mama Told Me. And we are back.
Mom, do you ever feel, you know, not so fresh?
Ew! No, no, no!
Yeah, we're back here with more My Mama Told Me, more Nicole Byer. You
what
clearly have a genuine reaction.
Mama, do you ever feel not so fresh? I would never ask my mother that.
Like, you don't remember that commercial?
No! Is that for it like was... Summer's Eve?
Yeah, it was for like a douche product mm-hmm. that they were selling when they were still trying to convince women to vinegar their puss. That's a way of getting that fragrance sent out.
It's so wild that some man was like, I'll eat her out, but it's stinky. How do we fix it? And they're like, I don't know, vinegar cleans after you make fish. So like that.
I love that vinegar was the first instinct he could come up with of like, that's how much he hated women was he was uh-huh. like, I need something that I use to clean my house uh-huh. and to like flush out like my insides is vinegar. I'm not going with like flowers and, no. and dainty things.
No, it's we're
like,
going to nope. kill the smell. I want it to be like I'm eating... like a wet piece of plastic. Like I don't want any smell.
It better be odorless, otherwise I can't enjoy it. Even though my balls smell like God knows what.
Yeah, sometimes balls are really upsetting.
Not sometimes, almost all the time. There are some days where I smell myself and I'm like, God damn, I'm lucky somebody loves me.
Oh, see, yeah. That's nice. I like that some men think like that.
Yeah, I put it in my vow, but apparently my wife didn't care for that part. You know
I
what
don't
I mean?
Like that part.
Like, lady, it wasn't for you. It was You're for like, us.
Sorry about it. I'm a comedian. Did you forget? Did you do funny vows?
I did. I tried to, at least. I don't know if you feel this way. If I don't do something funny in almost everything that I do, I feel like I'm being dishonest to
Same.
Myself.
That is fully how I feel. For a while, I was like, I think I'm hiding behind a wall. And I was like, no, I genuinely love making people laugh.
Yeah.
So if I'm not doing that, then I'm doing something weird.
Yeah, it just feels like I'm pretending if I'm not at least attempting to be funny. I'm fine with bombing. Like,
yep,
I'll try to be funny in something that does not require mm-hmm. me to be funny and bomb like a motherfucker. And I do it all the time. But I got to mm-hmm. at least try. Otherwise, Papa feels sick. All right. let's get into this game. I have a fun game for us to play. I know you run a wonderful 90 Day Fiancé podcast. Mm-hmm. You have a podcast where you unpack all of the happenings on 90 Day Fiancé.
Yes, and I love it.
Personally am a massive fan of 90 Day Fiancé.
This I didn't know. Okay. Do you watch the spinoffs as well?
I do, unfortunately. I don't believe that you can watch the show and truly call yourself a fan without then, you know, finding yourselves in the Darcy and Stacey's of the world.
I love Darcy and Stacey.
I don't. I think they're the sickest ladies alive.
They are sick. And I do watch it. And then this, like the last couple episodes, Stacey has been crying. And I was like, Stacey didn't even make up her bed. These pillows don't match. She's not wearing a like lavish outfit. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Darcy, and also their dad is from Cape Verde. So I call them my black queens, even though it's off the coast of Africa. They might be like more Portuguese than anything, but yeah. I just like thinking they're black.
I'll be honest, I've been wondering this whole time what race they are, and we had landed on Italian, but now that makes more sense.
Yes, so people think they're Italian, but their dad is from, I believe his people are from Cape Verde, and then their mom, I think, is white. So they're
half Cape Verdean,
and a good way to be like is like Amber Rose is Cape Verdean, so it's like they're like kind of like Amber Rose.
Sure.
Do you watch The Family, Chantel?
I do not. I will say about Cape Verdean people, though, I lived in Boston for multiple years. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you find out is Boston has like one of the biggest Cape Verdean populations in the U.S.
I didn't know that.
And they are infamous in Boston for being like insane, wild people that like one of the most dangerous parts of the city of Boston.
Wait,
is like,
really?
Completely made up of Cape Verdean people, and they blame them for every bad thing that happens in the city.
Wild.
Yep. So all that crazy that's in Darcy and Stacey apparently is just the Cape Verdean deep in their roots.
Oh boy, this brings me joy, but also makes me sad.
Yeah, sure. Sure. You mean stigmatizing a group of people? It doesn't feel good in your spirit?
I don't think I like that. I don't think I like stereotyping or racism. Listen, you heard it here first. Those two things are bad.
Okay. All right. Let's get into this game. We've got a very important game that I like to call, and this is a brand new game. It's called 90 Day Conspiracy. Yeah, 90 Day Conspiracy. The way we're going to play this game is I'm going to present to you a few of my personal favorite people throughout the 90 Day Fiancé multiverse. And what I would love for you to do is just unpack whether or not you think that they would make effective cult leaders.
Okay.
Do you think that they could effectively lead their own cult, ideally within the 90 day window that they have to come to America and get married? So starting off, he gave us a song about her. Let's go with baby girl Lisa. How you feeling about Lisa's potential to lead a cult?
Just the fact that Usman was so dedicated to her, even though his friends, the goofballs light, were like, she's disgusting. Everyone in his life was like, this woman is trash. She is disgusting. She is, ugh. And they, even when they got married, he was like, I think you have to wear a bra with that dress. And she's like, no. I think she could lead a cult, specifically because she has this man entranced by her, and she literally looks like a wet cigarette. Like, she's disgusting.
She, I would argue, is one of the most gruesome figures that has ever that has ever made their way across the 90 Day Fiancé screen.
And
the fact that he has found like a contentment in that leads me to believe that she has to be persuasive in some kind of way. I agree with you. I think baby girl Lisa would make a pretty good cult leader. Okay, let's go in a different direction. Muhammad of season two, he dated Danielle, and she had the three kids, and he came and pulled a lot of shenanigans on her. How are you feeling about his potential to
Muhammad,
lead a
Muhammad, I want my sex.
That's right.
I do not think Muhammad would be an effective cult leader.
Okay, tell me why.
He's not dedicated. He doesn't understand that you need to make sacrifices. On their wedding day, they were like, you may now kiss the bride. And he said, no, I cannot for religious reasons. and did not expand onto what the religious reasons were.
That's fair.
So it's that's... like, you have to do some of the dirty shit. Some of the dirty shit is kissing your new wife, Danielle.
That's right. He wouldn't even explain what part of his religion was keeping him from doing it. He was just like, nah, dog, it's that time of the month. I can't do it.
At the reunion, said she had a stinky pussy on national television.
that was unkind. He wasn't a kind man. He also got other women pregnant while he was married to her and was like traveling to Florida to go be... and he lost weight and got like a cool haircut and just really changed his whole life.
She came down and she said, I'm going to send you back to where you came from, Mohammed. I would be a part of Danielle's cult. I could listen to her all day. I love her.
Oh, God. I couldn't for a second. I feel I'd never wanted to get some kids out of a house more than in that situation.
Yeah, when he was like, the lights got turned off. This is not a way to live. She's like, I love you, Mohammed.
Right. She wasn't even a good listener. No. He's like, we got to get the lights back on. And she's like, Mohammed, I love you. It's not good. It's a bad setup. But okay, so Mohammed would not make a good cult leader.
I don't think so.
Here's my wife's favorite. She loves Anfisa. How you feeling about Anfisa being a potential cult leader?
Love Anfisa. I think she could be a cult leader because she's terrifying.
Yes.
The way this woman screams is intense. And George was just like, here's your makeup bag. And she, like, yeah, she would scream you into the cult.
Yes, I think that she would make an effective cult leader. It would have to be some version of a sex cult, but that a sex cult that doesn't allow you to have sex with them.
Yes.
Like it's a weird setup, but I do think that she has all the potential to at least break the brain of another human being.
I agree.
Okay, here's one that I think would be interesting. Let's talk Tom. Tom of Darcy infamy.
So something in me is like, yes, Tom would be a good cult leader because he strung Darcy along and, you know, would do things where he was like, I would have proposed to you if we had gone on the vacation I wanted to go on. But then I was like, it takes a woman like Darcy to be susceptible to that. So then I was like, no, but then I said yes, because there's lots of women like Darcy. I think you can run a cult. I think it would only be filled with women.
I agree. And I think that there's not a big difference between Tom and a Keith Raniere. Do you know what I mean? That like
Keith Raniere?
The Nexium guy. Like,
I'm not into it.
Oh, you're not into it. Okay. Well, the same energy of like find some broken individuals, some people who need this kind of energy, and then you just maximize it. Could he lead a big famous cult? Probably not, but he could get about 6 or 7 goofballs in a house and have them doing push-ups at weird times at night. You know what I mean? I believe in Tom in that way.
I believe in Tom too. Yeah, he'll give everyone a key. But wonder what it's a key to.
Some weird gold key that clearly doesn't work on anyone's home.
My favorite thing about that key was they stayed in Airbnb. They didn't even stay at his house. So like, what was the key to? And also, Darcy has been disrespected on so many continents.
She has. And if only she could settle into herself enough to go, like, meet a man at the grocery store. But no, she keeps going on these weird international dating websites.
Well, she finally got Georgie. I think Georgie is the one.
I know you don't mean that, but it's very exciting to hear someone say it out loud. I know no humans ever meant that, but...
Yeah, I can't wait to see what happens with her and Georgie.
I'm very excited about it. I'll hit you with one more, and then we'll close this bad boy out. Here's my personal favorite person in the history of 90 Day Fiancé is Angela. How are we feeling about Angela and her potential to lead a cult?
Angela absolutely could lead a cult. She's already leading a cult. She's got 100 little black kids living in her house. I don't know where they fucking came from, but that's her cult. Skyla's second in command.
She has a lot of black children. She's got Michael. Michael's submissive to her to a fault. I think those black kids, I can't figure out if they're Skyla's kids or, you know, one of her other daughters
is in jail
for murder. And so maybe they belong to the murderer daughter, but it's hard to know.
I gotta say, TLC does no background checks, and they get the creme de la creme of these insane people.
They truly just ask, would you like to be on the show, person on the street? And then they give them 6 years to figure it out.
Yep.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's truly the best show. And Nicole, this was such a fun time. I had a great time chatting with you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hell yeah. Could you tell the people where they can find you, what cool stuff you have going on, any plugs?
You can find me on Instagram or Twitter at Nicole Byer. You can watch Nailed It on Netflix. I have too many podcasts. Why Don't You Date Me, Best Friends, 90 Day Bay on Patreon, Newcomers with Lauren Lapkus. We're going through Lord of the Rings right now. What a franchise. Yeah, and that's it. I don't know if you want me to like make some money, watch the episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine I'm in so I can get some residuals.
Yeah, watch those residual episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Only those, no other episodes. And follow her on all that stuff. And feel free to follow me at Langston Kerman. And please, if you have drops or questions or conspiracies or voicemails you would like to send me, send them to mymamapod@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. Okay, we did it. Bye.
Bye.